Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this early morning. For those that are like, wait a minute, what happened? Wasn't she supposed to be on at 7? Yes, I was. But on last evening, my granddaughter came to stay with me for the next couple of days, so we will be broadcasting at 6 today and 6 tomorrow, and I ask your forgiveness. Your host was sleeping real good, very good, actually, and so I'm waking up, but I'm waking up with the word of God. Father God in heaven, I thank you for waking me up this morning, for putting a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. Morning, woke up with Jesus on my mind. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Grateful that I have got the word in this morning. God woke me up early this morning to get my show ready so that I would be able to do what I do for God. And all I can say is the word for this morning is rich. It's one of those words that you're like, whoa. Don't play with God. Play with God and don't mess with his stuff. Don't mess with his stuff. Desecrating it. And the word God gave me early this morning was, the writing is on the wall. God, don't play. Bam. The writing is on the wall. God, don't play. God don't play. He don't play with you, and he don't play with me, and he don't play with the devil, who thinks he's slick and can do whatever he wants to do without repercussions. He found out of heaven. How do you get kicked out of heaven? He got kicked out of heaven. And a third went with him of the disobedient and rebellious. A he's here, wishing he was in the grandeur, the majesty of heaven. And so he goes after us, the creation of God. So let's get into the word this morning, family. And the word of God says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken in the temple. Boom! My daddy, those people. My daddy wouldn't touch that stuff. They made my daddy go crazy for a minute. But I'm not afraid of Israel's God. That was his attitude. We all understand with a great ego can come a great fall. And that's what this kid is going to find out. So let's read. Because he thought he was all that. We're going to go back. We'll go back to the number one verse. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem. That the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Now remember, these are holy. These are the vessels from the church. These are God's special vessels. These vessels were anointed for the priest to use in the praise of God. And this is what it says. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone, things made by hand. Them little G's, thought he was cute. I'm sure he thought he was being real cute. Ha ha ha, we're going to use this stuff. Okay. Now remember his dad got saved. It says, and in the same hour, the fingers of a hand, a man's hand, appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand and wrote, that wrote. Then the king's counsel changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hip were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, but he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the men, king's wise men, came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Now understand, things was going good. Party was over here. They was having a good time. Until he decided to meddle where he didn't need to get some things he didn't need to touch. And then that writing came on the wall, and he's afraid. And it says this, the queen, because of the words of the king, and his lord came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, and Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Are you that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give me the interpretation of the thing, And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretation and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let your gift be and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor, and because of the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. So he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints whom it is whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. Although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or bear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified in his finger of the hand was sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written, my name, the cow of Hashim. This is the interpretation of each word, my name. God has numbered the kingdom and finished it. Care, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. you. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Whew! Boom, boom, with God. Because he don't play. It's written on the wall. Come on, y'all. Numbers chapter 6 of Daniel. Whew! Chapter 5 is the don't play. And it's going to continue. Now, Darius is the king. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 steps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the seraphs might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and seraphs because became an excellent spirit. I'm sorry. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the seraphs sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge of fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error of fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So we're going to go after his faith. But we know he's faithful to his God. He's not a thief. He's not out in the streets. He's a good man. So the only thing he can do is go after his God, because you know he's faithful to his God. So let's go back to the word. So these governors and seraphs, etc., thronged before the king. Thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the statutes, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed a written decree. Again, folks of power manipulating. Who does that sound like? Some naming stuff, don't it? I'm going to get Mordecai. That's what this sounds like. So let's keep it moving. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. We're going to get this man. That's what they thought was. And so they went back. Now, these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god, little g, our man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king Abner said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Not once, not twice, but 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. And the king was like, I like this guy. This guy gave me some writing on the wall and made me understand this guy don't play. I don't want to do this. He didn't want to do it. So let's go back. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king had faith of Daniel's deliverance. Come on now. That writing on the wall, when he found out that God didn't play, it got the king in order. And the king was like, I can't do anything about this order. Because, again, not knowing what he's signing, not understanding that it's some dubious and some skedaddling in the works. He had no idea. And he didn't want to kill Daniel. So he whispered in his ear as he's putting him in the den of lions. What did he tell him? Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Come on now. Now, I hope he delivers you. I pray he delivers you. I know he's going to deliver you. He will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king filled it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his sword, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no magicians were brought before him, although his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his anger and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Ken right there. He believed in his God. The three boys, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they also believed in their God. Not a stench, no fire touched them, just like no lion touched them. And as we continue, it says this, and the king gave the command that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivered and rescued. He worked signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a word this morning, this early morning. And we're going to go back and get some life lessons and life principles from Daniel chapter 5 and 6. And again, life lessons, life principles, what the Bible says, come from Dr. Charles Stanley, from our Bible that we are reading, which is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And the first life lesson for this morning is Daniel 5 and 17. Let your gift be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Like Abraham, long before him, Daniel had no interest in being made rich by a wicked ruler. He also had no fear of the Babylonian king, but he feared the Lord above all else. Come on now. Isaiah 51. And as we go into this life principle, we stand tallest and strongest on our knees. We say it again. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. We got to go to God and petition God for whatever it is that you're after, provide. And it says, an older pastor got into the habit of challenging his congregation by quoting Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Leveling his eyes at the gathered before him, he will say, try it, it works. This is a very simple thought, but it carries a tremendous truth. God wants us to call to him many times. He allows disappointment to rake through our lives so that he might draw us closer to himself. Prayer is the most powerful tool. A believer has nothing compared to it. In prayer, we profess our need of Christ and his solution to our problems. In prayer, we learn to worship him and draw spiritually in his loving presence. Don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will show you. Tears are just as effective as words at times, and God is sensitive to every tear you cry, just as he understands the hurt you feel. So he knows how to deal with and guide you through any anger that has penetrated your life. God is bigger than any problem you face. He knows the way before you, and only he can guide you through the difficulties. When our trials hit, always respond first by going to him in prayer. As you pray, hope invades your life and fills you with the reassurance of his ungirding presence. Several things are essential to establishing a powerful prayer life. One is to choose a definite time to spend in prayer. Nothing setting a time, whether early in the morning or late in the evening, is not the issue. Consistency is the key here. Ask God to show you the perfect time when you can be alone with him, even for 15 minutes. God honors the prayers of his people. If you came to him, if you come to him, he will provide all you need for your prayer life. If possible, select a place where you can be alone with him. You may need to consider obligations with younger children. When it comes to prayer, you will find that God is very creative. He will provide a perfect place for you to seek him. Making the commitment to pray is an essential step. This alone tells God that your heart is open to his heart and that you want to learn more about him and the life he has planned for you. as we spend time with him. God lovingly teaches us how to pray, how to listen for his still, small voice as he replies to our humble request. Prayer is a doorway to blessing and freedom from bondage. As we pray, God teaches us more about himself and the spiritual warfare needed to combat the enemy. Every day, God calls us to put on the armor of God and to stand firm in our faith. The only way to do this through prayer and complete reference on Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. I tell my congregation, and this is Dr. Sam, that the distance between success and failure and victory and defeat is about 6 to 12 inches or whatever the distance is for you to drop to your knees and pray to your wondrous Lord and Savior. You never stand taller or stronger than while on your knees. Over your lifetime, you will find many difficult situations. Some will feel very exciting and challenging. Whatever life sends your way, you can be sure that God cares. He enjoys seeing you excited over his blessings, and he mourns with you when you try to distrust. Over the years, I have enjoyed keeping a journal that contains many prayers and God's insight for each request. You can do the same thing by writing out your needs and the way God answers your prayers. Pray that he will provide specific verses that apply to your situation. Look for his promises in his word. Claim them. Write them down and trust him. You will never be disappointed. My challenge to you is simple. Whatever you're facing, trust God with it. Ask him to take away the anxiety, fear, and feelings of frustration. When you trust the Lord, you rest in his care. You probably could name at least one place where you feel safe and accepted, but there is no place where you will feel more accepted or secure than in the presence of God. All of this and much more waits for you as you come to him. What a mighty God he says. Daniel 6 and 28, Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God desires for us to live successfully regardless of your circumstances. Daniel lived well and lived successfully in the midst of his circumstances, and we are called to do the same. Psalm 136, Psalms, verses 10 through 26. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever and brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endures forever with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. For his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever and made Israel pass through the midst of it. For his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. For his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us to in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his endures forever. Who give food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And on yesterday, the beginning of our song, we talked about giving thanks. And when we go back, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, wow, what a merciful God. We start out with thanksgiving. Start with thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And we end with, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Ooh, what a mighty word of God. Proverbs 29:12-13. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. And this we are seeing played out before our eyes all over this world. Leaders that don't want to give up their position, that are refusing to leave, are confused. A ruler pays attention to lies. All his servants become what? Wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Thanking God for the light today that is his word. Thanking God for this word this morning. So please join me in 2 Peter chapter 2. And as we move forward, it says this. But there were also false prophets. Peter is teaching us. Again, the apostle Peter, the disciple Peter, the friend of God Peter, the friend that was closer than a brother Peter, the Peter that Jesus gave directions. On you, I will build my church. Oh, come on now. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom? The way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, the judgment has not been idle, and the destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a creature of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the word of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards will live ungodly and delivered of righteousness. And delivered righteous God, who is oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless speech. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a revealing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those will count it pleasure and carouse in the daytime. I'm putting a pin there. You know, when you listen to certain people for a period of time, they will reveal themselves. I was listening to a podcast, and one of the hosts made the comment about God. And she said, well, I don't believe in God anyway. And I thought to myself, honey, you will one day believe in the Most High, because he's going to show you some stuff. He is going to show you some stuff because your mouth has said you don't believe in him. So watch and wait and understand that your day is coming. It says they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that they cannot see from sin, enticing unstable souls that they have a heart trained in covetousness practices and are accursed. Don't play with God. The writing was on the wall. You don't want the writing to come onto your wall. Quit playing with God, because God don't play. Children, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. He was on his way to curse Israel. And when his donkey saw the angel, he stopped and wouldn't go any further. And Balaam hit him. He did it again. Balaam hit him. Then the third time, Balaam told me he wanted to kill him. And that donkey spoke. And then his eyes got open, and he saw the angel of the Lord in his track. He could kill him by doing what he was about to do. He had to repent quick and then hurt. And it goes on to say, these are well without water, carried by a tempest, for whom it preserves the blackness of darkness forever. But when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. But if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse to them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallet in the mare. Step all clean goes back to wallowing in the dirt, in the muck and the mire, to be filthy again. And we all know the story of Gomer, and how every time her husband tried to bring her to do the will of God, she'd rather be a harlot than to be a wife of a prophet. Peel a pig, wash, and made clean, but would prefer to wallow more. 2 Peter 2 and 1, there were also false prophets among the people who will secretly bring in destruction and heresy. The best way to recognize counterfeit doctrine is to become thoroughly familiar with the truth. That's why we do what we do every day. Someone whose mind has been trained to know and love the truth will not easily be led astray by false teaching. We got to know the word and ask God, give us discernment and understanding that this word will go into our heart, into our spirit, into our mind. In the name of Jesus, we got to ask God discernment. And as we go back to our last life lesson for this morning, in 2 Peter 2:19, they themselves are slaves of corruption. People who encourage us to join them in their sin are like junkies who encourage people to join them in their drug habit. They promise a good time, a real high, but in fact, they are trapped in a destructive lifestyle. And that is our word for this morning on this first day of December, family. You only have 24 more days till Christmas. Don't get caught up in the hype of spending money you don't have, going into debt that you don't want to be in just for a few hours of the day. Give what you can give. Do what you can do. But don't overspend and go into debt. I tell my kids this year, Mom's giving what she can, and what she can't, she can't. Don't ask for the moon or the stars. Gonna get what's on this little old earth. So we have finished our word for this morning. A word from my sister in Christ may not be in yet, because it is quite early for our normal time. But I will check, and Sister Carolyn, like myself, God woke up early, early in the morning to give her word as he gave me mine. And the word that he gave her early this morning was, don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new, have a transforming Thursday. And what did he do in the time of Daniel? Under Belshazzar, changed the course of Belshazzar. In the time of Darius, read the writing on the wall to change his life. Understand, God is good, and we can't give up because God don't play. Don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we get ready to finish up and wrap up, our prayer for this morning is make me wise. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13 NASB. Spirit of wisdom. And I like to say spirit of God. I know you hold all the answers I've been seeking. My own understanding has taken me as far as it could. My capacity has reached its limit, but you have a limitless supply. Where else could buy it? I would have already. But I know that that's not how it works. It is better this way because it is based on the relationship. And I know you already know every situation I'm asking about. Hallelujah. Lord, speak into my questions. I have so many. Would you give me the direction I long for and peace of mind when I make my informed decisions? Without you, I'll keep wandering around waiting either for signs in the sky or for the time to run up and my decisions will be made for me. Neither of those are good options. Thank you for giving wisdom so willingly. I submit to your leadership and counsel. And I do it in the name of Jesus. Our word for today is this. What do you need wisdom about? Is the writing on your wall? Are you needing some interpretation? Are you finding out that our Father God does not play? So whatever your assignment is, whether you do it at 7 a.m. or do it at 6, it's still your assignment, and you got to do it. So I thank all of you for listening in to me with my hoarse voice this morning. I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I ask him to watch over you when you're coming in and you're going out. May he give you grace and mercy that will sustain you until we meet again. May the Lord watch between me and you while we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Again, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed. Again, to have been with all of you this morning. May the Lord add a blessing to you all and a blessing to his word, to the hearers and the doers. May his blessings overflow in Jesus' name. Amen. And family, that is our word for this morning. Please join me tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., as we move forward in the Word of God. And again, I thank you. I praise God for you. Have a great day. It's a wrap.